Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
You know, I work with a lot of folks who are younger, and they're looking at, they're not only looking at financing a home, they're looking at, their retirement plan. They have years in to go, and they need to set up retirement. They usually have something going, maybe a 401k, something like that. Maybe haven't met with anybody. But I also sometimes have older couples who still in their 50s and 60s haven't really set up any type of retirement planning. And I know that that can create some difficulties. And fortunately, to unravel these kind of difficulties, I have Greg Keel, and Greg is a certified financial planner. I know he's more than that, and I still can't pronounce the name of his company, so I'm not going to try, but I'll get it sometime. But Greg, could you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Greg Keel, certified financial planner, certified divorce financial analyst from Acuitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial, Inc. I've been at this for 23 years. Always great to see you, Rick. Thanks for having me back, and good to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it very much. And this is one of those things that I think is extremely important is the retirement planning. I remember, I don't remember whether somebody told me this or I heard it on the radio, but it was by somebody, and they said, you know, the hardest thing about retirement planning is people plan out their savings. They'll do their retirement plan. They never plan on their spending. They never plan on the end result. So they accumulate all this money, and then they, I don't know what they want. You probably know they want to hold on to it. They don't want to use it. I can see that. But I thought it would be great to talk about financial planning before we do a retirement planning. Before we do that, though, can you tell people how to get a hold of you?
Sure. You can reach us at 317-288-5400. Again, that number is 317-288-5400, or gregkeel.com. That's Greg with three G's. You can ask my mom why I have. She won't tell me. I don't know, but it's greggkeele.com. That's greggkeele.com, or just Google Greg Keel, and you'll get all kinds of cool ways to contact us.
Yeah, lots of G's and lots of E's.
You got it.
Yeah,
G's.
And so let's talk about financial planning. You know, obviously this is a question I know the answer to, but when is the best time to start your retirement planning, your funding your retirement?
No matter who you are, the best answer to that question is now.
That's what I figured.
Because you can't do it in the past, and right, you may or may not do it in the future. Sometimes people will say, oh gosh, you know, I'm too late. Well, you're too late for yesterday, but you're early for tomorrow. So yeah, it really is important to get a handle on these things and understand that, if we live off 100% of our income and our income stops, we've got 100% loss. So all of us have to orient ourselves, whether we make $5 million a year or, you know, $5 an hour, we've got to orient our lives around the reality of that and living off less than what we make, so that in the future, when we can't or don't want to work for money, we don't have to.
Yeah, you know, what my plan is, I think, is just I'm going to have my boys take care of me.
Yeah, it's
see, that's
plan.
Yeah, they haven't agreed to it yet.
You need to get their wives to agree to take care of you, because in my experience, 23 years of doing this, you know how many boys are taking care of their mother? Almost none, but all of their wives and daughters are. So,
yeah, I can see that.
Get some men into this action here, because it is pretty funny to watch.
Unfortunately, I only have boys, so I guess we're in trouble.
Well, you better hope they find good partners.
So if you have somebody doesn't have a retirement plan, they haven't set anything up, or they just have a 401k, how do they decide who to talk to, who to contact, what they should do? I mean, to me, it's kind of overwhelming to somebody, and they probably need some direction in that.
It is. And I would say, you know, the laws around retirement plans are screwy and almost never ending in their length. But one of the good things we've done is set up a lot of opportunities for workplace retirement plans. Most people, even in small businesses, have access to some kind of retirement plan, a 401k, a simple, a SEP. And I would say the first step for folks is just get involved in that. Start off with 2 or 3% of your pay, and then every year add another percent or two, a percent or two to it. And then over time, you're going to be at 10, 12, 15% of your pay that you're automatically saving. And you don't miss it as much because it's just not in the paycheck. So that's a great way for people to get started. We also have a lot of folks, to your point earlier, who have done a great job of saving over their lifetime, and now they have this pile of money. But they've been good at investing and staying in the market and, you know, getting through the ups and downs. We've had the longest bull run in the history of the U.S. over the last almost 11 years. It's been beautiful, but people are often worried, okay, now that I'm going to take money out, how does that work? And I'll tell you, it's infinitely more complicated to pull money from a portfolio and still have money than it is to put money in every week and, you know, invest and not obsess over it or look at it too much. So we help people, of course, who are building their portfolios. And, you know, especially when you get into executive compensation, people who work for Lilly or Anthem or Amazon, and they're getting restricted stock units or non-qualified stock options or performance shares, you know, they have a complicated situation that we need to monitor over time in order to make sure that we're managing the risk around the growth of those things. And again, those folks who are getting close to retirement, it's really important to understand it's a much different story when you're taking money out than it was when you're putting it in. We have a graphic in our office that shows two people retiring, same exact time, same exact amount of money, same returns, except we flipped them. One has negative returns the first 2 years. One have negative returns the second 2 years. One ends up with like $1 million. The other one ends up with zero.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So if you get negative returns in the first couple of years of your retirement and you're not ready for that, it can have a huge impact on how long your money lasts. And these are things that, again, most people are retiring for the first time. They have a big hunk of money to manage and to take income off for the first time. And there are just so many things that we don't know when we're doing something for the first time. And right. So I would encourage folks, you know, whatever they're doing, if they're not an expert at it, you know, team up with somebody that is and get good advice.
Yeah. You know, the other part of that I find very interesting, and I think people don't really realize, you think, you know, I just want to be a millionaire. So let's say you save and you've invested and you have $1 million,
right?
And you retire,
right?
And you're a millionaire and you think, I've got it made. I have $1 million. Okay. If you live for 30 years and you don't invest that money well, that money does not last very long, and it's not much of a monthly income.
For someone who's 60 with $1 million and expects to live to 90, they can safely, these days with these interest rates, they can safely extract, if they invest wisely, $35,000 to maybe $40,000 a year off that million, and then and expect that it won't dissipate. And I think that surprises a lot of people. I'm a millionaire and I can live off $35,000.
Right.
Well, remember, the 10-year treasury rate, the only risk-free way to invest that money into the U.S. government bond, that's going to pay you between 1.5 and 1.8% right now. So that, on $1 million, is $15,000 to $18,000.
That's not very much.
And so if you want more than that, like double or triple that, you're going to have to take some risk. And for the last 10 years, people have forgotten that risk goes in two directions, and one of them is not up.
Yes.
And so you start taking money off a portfolio, the value drops. Now you're selling shares in order to meet your income needs. Well, those shares you sold can never reappreciate because they no longer exist. And it can be a drastic death spiral.
Yeah, I know. For me, it's I know you can lose because I trade options. So
that's right. Yeah, we see that a lot. So folks who speculate in options, make a little, make a little, make a little, make a little. Hey, this is awesome. Make a little, lose a lot.
Fortunately, I haven't lost a lot. But
good.
You lose.
Well,
and
you
win.
Know what you're doing.
You
though.
Don't win all the time. That's just the way it is. You know that's you're right. Going to lose some.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question this week is, my son is looking to buy a home in the spring. How much down payment will he need, and can we give him the down payment? So the basics here are, if you have somebody who is looking to buy a home, down payment-wise, there's a variety of programs. There are FHA is a 3.5% down minimum program. Conventional is you can do as little as 3% down, especially for a first-time home buyer. All of that down payment can be gifted by a family member. So by a close family member. So if they need the down payment and you're willing to gift that down payment to them, then that can be used, that can go 100% towards the down payment, and it can be 100% of the down payment. Again, now there's also programs out there, let's say you don't want to gift the money, if you didn't, in this case you did, but if you didn't want to gift the money, there are other programs out there, like the Indiana Housing has a program where they'll actually give the money. Now there's some ramifications of that you'd want to get with me and we can talk about it. But there are other programs. But a lot of people think you need 20% down. You don't need 20% down. You can get in with as little as 3% down. Lots of people do that. Lots of people do 3.5%. I would say probably 30-40% of what we do is 5% down on a purchase. But then we also get a lot of people who do have 20% down. People who are moving from one house to another, a lot of times they have that. So to answer the question, or the answer to the question is, you can gift the money as long as you're a direct family member, and you can gift all of the down payment if that's what you wanted to do. So Greg, let's get back to the retirement planning. And on the retirement planning, like I'm, you know, 60 now, and I don't ever plan on, my plan is never to retire. It's just not, I can't see myself sitting there. I don't have hobbies. My hobby is working. I like to work. I enjoy what I do. So, you know, I enjoy it. So I see no reason to retire. And this is something unless the market changes, it's something I can do forever. But I still need money because you never know. There's physical things that can happen.
Right.
Is it too late for somebody? I know you kind of said it wasn't, but I just want to verify. Is it really at 60, it's not too late?
No, it's too late for what is the question? Too late to have the experience of somebody who's been saving for 20 years? Probably too late for that. But it's not too late for what is. And, you know, we all have to take a look at that and say, you know, whether you're 60 or 16, we have resources available. And those resources, if used and invested wisely, can produce an outcome. And we just want to go and see what can be done. I'm not terribly interested in what can't be done, right? So we go and set the realistic expectations and look at all of the options in front of us to try and create something that works. And that may or may not be what an individual expects, but it can be what they can expect, right? And that's a more comfortable place to live when we know that we are on a plan that makes sense and that is very doable. And we may end up ahead of schedule. And if we do, well, that's good too, right?
Right. So, yeah. Here's another one, because these are more personal to me. Now, I have invested, so I don't need to.
Right.
I don't really need to worry about it. But if you have somebody, one of the hard things for me to figure it out, it took me a while to figure out how to do it because I was commission based.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I can't tell you I can put $1,000 a month away. I can't tell you I can put $2,000. To this month, I may be able to put $5, and this month I may only be able to put $500, or I may not be able to put anything, because you just, you just never knew what your income was going to be. So how do you adjust for that for somebody?
Yeah, it's a great question, because for people with variable income, a lot of times that would be business owners or people who work on commission, or even executives whose bonuses vary from $1,000 to $1 million, you know, depending on how the stock did or whatever they're measured on. That's a great question. And so many folks who make lots of money doing these different professions end up not saving very much because of the very thing you said. How much money do most people spend? Well, show me how much they have. That's around how much they're going to spend.
Right.
So what we do is we start off with some financial forecasting to say, okay, what is it that you want? A lot of folks that I talk to, are working for money for now, and then down the road, they want to do something with their life, either part-time or full-time or after work, whatever, that has an impact on the purpose of their life. They're trying to live in purpose toward a goal of being a change agent for whatever. And so we start with that. Like, what matters to you? What are we trying to get done with this time on this earth? And then we can start to think about the financial resources that we'll need to enable somebody to do that. For a lot of people, it's to not be in debt so that if they want to take a year off, they can. To spend with grandchildren, or to travel, or to express their spirituality, or to go on a mission trip, or whatever. So we start with that. Now that we know the financial resources that we're going to need, we can start to look at if we're saving on an annual or monthly or daily basis, what's that going to take? So for most people who have variable income, we're talking about, oh, we don't need to save this much per month. We need to save this much per year, right? And so when they get that big bonus check, they're calling us and saying, okay, I got this big bonus check. I want to go on this vacation. I want to buy this toy, this big jet ski or whatever. I want to whatever. How much of this do I need to invest in order to be on target for my goal? And so we'll go through those decisions, right? Well, what's most important to you? I want to stay on track. Okay. Well, you need to put this much of this check in here. And then when you get the next one, we'll talk about that. And so each time they get those big chunks of money, instead of getting out there and spending it, would take some off the top.
Right.
And it's different every time because their priorities, or maybe it's been a while since they've made money, so they have to go back and backfill the spending that they did in the time where they weren't making the big checks. But it's just recognizing and appreciating that it's not the same as somebody who just has, you know, X number of dollars come out of every paycheck and then they're fine, right? But that is so interesting you asked that question, because so often we see folks with very high, very healthy incomes, and they get to be, you know, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, and they don't have a lot of savings to show for it. And that's exactly why.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because it was a struggle for me when I was younger to figure that out. When I basically first started out in sales, which is what kind of got me in the way of savings, is I took $100 every paycheck and I just put it in an account and I didn't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked at how much money it ended up so quickly. I mean, it was really surprising.
I know.
It grew and grew and grew. And just because I kept putting it there and I left it alone. And it makes a difference. When you have, you know, what money allows you is it allows you freedom.
Yeah.
It doesn't do a lot of other, you know, you can buy things and all that. That's all great. But it's the freedom. It means that it takes a lot of your worry. Financial worry goes away.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I I'm worried about money. Well, no, you're worried about the lack of money. You don't have money worries because you don't have any money. you got to have money to have money worries. I mean, I thought about it. You know, somebody who they win the lottery, they win $100 million.
Yeah.
They got money problems.
They have big money problems.
They have no idea. I mean, I can't imagine what would you do with I mean, that would be a huge undertaking. I'm willing to give it a try, but
it's very difficult when inheritances are the same way. When money comes to someone and they have not deliberately and consciously earned it through doing wonderful things for other people, and that's why they got paid, when they have that money, inheritance lottery thrown on them, the problem is they understand that they didn't earn it. And there's a part of them that usually says, I don't deserve this. And all the people around them, who are probably also people who don't have money, feel the same way. And so they end up like just leeches all over them of folks who believe they have a right to some of that money. And so it is a very difficult situation for a lot of those folks to be in, because everybody they've ever known comes and tries to grab some of that money, and they either have to say yes or they have to say no, both of which are difficult and sometimes the wrong answer.
Right.
And it can ruin lives for a reason, because just imagine, listeners out there, just imagine putting yourself in that situation where you have something and everybody knows it and everybody thinks they should have part of what you have. And you have no way to really defend yourself other than, well, I'm lucky and you're not. Well, that's a tough spot.
Yeah, I remember I think I heard the guy talking, and he won a huge lottery, and he said after he had given away like $50 million, he realized this isn't going to last. I got to stop. But everybody wanted money. And yeah. He just, first of all, you got all this money. You think you can give it away, but you start giving it away and you get, and everybody has a story behind it. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you're out of money. Same thing that you're talking about. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money that is. If you're giving it away and you haven't planned it out to give it away and how you're going to give it away and how long it's going to last, you're going to probably run out of money.
I don't know a single person, including myself, that doesn't look back, you know, over the age of maybe 30, right? When you're young, this doesn't apply. But I don't know if a single person that doesn't look back and say, oh my gosh, where did the last 10 years go? Time goes so fast. And you were talking about that $100 you were putting in every pay period. You were shocked how that became a serious amount of money. I tell people, so think about the size of a brick. A brick is a pretty small thing, like a little red brick, right?
Right.
And you go and you put one of those in the backyard. And the next day you put another one on top of that in the backyard. It doesn't take very many days to where you need a ladder,
right,
to put the next brick on. And I am just shocked at the power of just saving a little bit of money, any bit of money, over time. And how that adds up. And that is a powerful mechanism for, you know, creating and preserving some of your wealth.
Yeah. And in the retirement planning, how do you see the mortgage as part of a financial planning?
Oh, it's humongous. When you're building your wealth, you have to decide where to invest. Am I going to invest in this home? And the increase or decrease in value thereof, and, you know, the value of it over time. Am I going to invest in a financial asset? And I'm going to invest in another type of real estate asset that provides income? I think the answer is probably all of the above. But how you finance that, when you're paying interest, you're giving something up, right? You're paying someone else for the use of their money. And so we really need to weigh that against all the other options that we're using. But that's why I love working with you so much, Rick. You bring the analytics to people in a way that's super understandable, so that we can weigh our different options of where we use debt and where we don't, where we access equity and why. It's a fantastic thing to watch as people's eyes light up when they understand the alternatives. And so we use reverse mortgages to help people in retirement and with their retirement income access tax-free home equity. We help people simultaneously reduce debt and build their portfolio, oftentimes using instruments like mortgages. But it's important for folks to understand one of the best things that we have available to us right now is super cheap money. We can borrow money cheaper than you know, for decades, maybe ever. At the same time, we were talking earlier about if I had $1 million, how much can I live off of? Well, if you invest in these super low interest rates, that $1 million is going to pay you $15,000, maybe $20,000.
Right.
You have to take risk if you want more than that. And so it's a double-edged sword. And being aware of that and then looking at the glass half full by saying, yeah, low interest rates are bad for savers, but they're good for borrowers. So, you know, how do we arrange things in maybe not as conventional a sense as in the past to take advantage of that?
Right. Yeah, and Ray, it always is. Every you know, it's good for one, bad for the other, but most savers are also borrowers, so
right.
it's good on one side, bad on the
right.
other.
And recognize that and use it, you know?
Right, and you know, the interest rates won't stay this low forever, which is another reason, it's a really good time to finance a home, because even if you're there 10 years and you get that these low rates for 10 years, you're well under the market if the rates go up, which is the anticipation. At some point, rates have to go up. It's been a long time since they've gone up, but at some point, they got to go up.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, we were at 1.4% a couple of years ago. We went up to over 3% in 2018, back to 1.4%. Yeah. Last year, we were at 1.8, 1.9 as we speak. Yeah, they've been around. But to your point, mortgages are fantastic because if the market moves against you, you win, right? So you don't have to pay the higher interest rates if they go up. But if they go down, you get a refinance and take advantage of the lower rates. It's the only financial instrument where that's true, folks. I mean, normally you make a move, and if it goes against you, it goes against you. If it goes for you, it goes for you. In the case of a mortgage, you kind of win either way as it relates to rates and the cost of debt. So, you know, it's a good time to be a borrower, I guess.
Yeah, it is. We're running out of time. Greg, could you give them an idea how to get a hold of you if anybody has any financial planning needs?
Sure. 317-288-5400. That number again is 317-288-5400 or gregkeele.com. That's GREGGKEELE. Lots of G's and E's.
Lots of them.
GREGGKEELE.com. So gregkeele.com or Google Greg Keele, and we would love to talk to you.
Yeah, I can't tell people how great he is, how great Greg is. If you have any needs, you really need to contact him. If you have any mortgage needs or any questions, please go to my website. It's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. It's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. If you have questions for the gurus, just go ahead and when you go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com, put in the comments, put your question, and we'll do our best to answer it on there. Also, I'll answer it by email. Thank you so much, Greg, for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus with Rick Rickma. Please join us again next Saturday at 3:30 on Freedom 95.